content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, friends. This is Larry Wilson for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Money Matters. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. For the next half hour, I'll be continuing our readings from the book Money Hacks by Lisa Rowan. These are 275 plus ways to decrease spending, increase savings, and make your money work for you. And we will continue our readings with Money Hack number 216. Wed wisely. Can you guess how much a wedding costs in the United States? The average is about $30,000, with weddings in pricey places like New York City and Miami coming in with much higher averages. But just because you want your friends and family to witness you committing your love to one another doesn't mean you need to break the bank to do it. A few options for reducing the cost of your reception without sacrificing the fun. Get married in the off-season for your area. Winter and early spring are usually your safest bets. Consider a venue that has everything you need on site, like a restaurant. Host a wedding brunch or lunch instead of the pricier dinner meal. Offer beer and wine instead of a full bar, or skip the booze altogether. Have champagne and desserts instead of a full sit-down meal. Explore the cost of a buffet versus a plated meal. And skip spending extra on those chair covers. Ask your friends and family for ways they've saved money on their own weddings. They'll be sure to have recommendations of venues and vendors that fit your style and are in your price range. Remember that the amount you spend doesn't reflect how much you love one another. And if you can only afford a small party now, you can renew your vows later on and have an even bigger celebration if you choose. And money hack number 217, get vested. When your employer puts money in your retirement account by matching the amount you contribute, it doesn't mean you have the right to that money right away. You may hear the word, quote, vested, used by your company's HR department. That's a word for who owns your money. If you're fully vested from day one, you take every penny that's been contributed to your 401k by you or your employer whenever you leave. Other companies will require that you work for a certain amount of time before being fully vested, meaning that you own all the money you contributed, but not all the money your company contributed until you have worked the required amount of time. There are two kinds of vesting. Cliff vesting. Your employer can make you wait up to 3 years to own the contributions it has made into your 401k. And graded vesting. Your employer can grant you partial ownership of the funds it has contributed, increasing that level over the course of a few years. In most cases, your employer must declare you fully vested within 6 years of your job starting. The vesting schedule probably isn't the sole reason to take or leave a job. But if you've been thinking about a career move in the near future, it's worth checking your vesting schedule to make sure you'll get to keep all the money you see in your 401k. Money hack number 218. Don't rob your retirement. Often parents wanting the very best for their offspring take early distributions or loans from their retirement accounts in order to help with college costs. But doing so puts you at a severe disadvantage. You may still be dealing with your own student loans, but the reality remains that your own children can and will, if necessary, take out their own student loans to pay for school. But there's no similar option for you to take out loans to fund your retirement. That's why it's so important to prioritize your own savings. You can't predict what shape their education will take, and you definitely can't bank on them getting rich and taking care of you in your old age. So play it safe and prioritize your own retirement savings over their college fund. Money Hack 219, save for graduate school. Did you know that you can benefit from a 529 plan even if you don't have children? You can use it to save for your own education, whether it's graduate school, continuing education courses, or career change that requires additional training. Contributions to 529 savings accounts are exempt from federal taxes. Every state offers at least one option for this type of savings account. If you know you're going to go back to school at some point, saving with this type of tax-advantaged savings account can help you start to plan for those nerve-wracking tuition costs. But beware. If you withdraw these funds for a use that's not educational, you'll have to pay a 10% federal tax penalty. And hack number 220, prepare your baby for college cost. Even though you may and should prioritize your own retirement savings over your child's education fund, you can still make it easy for your family to save. Savings plans called 529s are investment accounts designed specifically for education expenses. Adults typically open them for their children, grandchildren, or other young relatives to help them save for college. But if you're over 18, you can also open one for yourself. While you can participate in a 529 that essentially buys prepaid credits to use at participating colleges, your better option is most likely to go with a 529 savings plan. You invest your funds sort of like you would in your 401k. Then, when it's time to send Junior off to college or trade school, that money is tax-free as long as it's used towards tuition, housing, equipment, books, or other cost of attending. 529 funds can also be used for $10,000 worth of K-12 tuition per year. 529 plans make gift giving easy. Anyone can contribute to a 529 plan, and there are no caps to how much a beneficiary account can receive in a year. That makes it a great thing to have around for when your aunts, uncles, or parents ask, "How can we help you save for school for Junior?" Because you can provide the information for them to contribute. And 529 balances are typically counted as assets belonging to the parent when it's time to apply for financial aid. So the amount of aid your student gets won't be reduced dramatically if you've done a great job helping them save. Hack 221, aim for 80% in retirement. How much money do you need when you retire? The reason it's so hard to determine the right amount is because it's different for everyone. Experts say to plan for a yearly retirement income of 70% to 80% of your own pre-retirement income. That's because you'll have fewer expenses, you won't be commuting to work every day for starters, you won't be paying Social Security or Medicare taxes, and you won't be saving for retirement anymore. Some financial planners think that mentally preparing to, quote, spend 80% of your salary per retirement year is too high, and that it encourages you to overspend as you get used to life in retirement. They have a point, but a benchmark like this gives you a goal to work towards. Hack 222. Save money on financial planning. Maybe you're ready to work with a human versus robot financial planner, but you're worried about the cost. One of the best ways you can get the most convenient service possible and save a bit of money is by working with a virtual planner. Instead of meeting in an office, the Certified Financial Planner, or CFP, or other advisor connects with clients through some combination of online video chat, phone, and email. This method keeps you from having to take time to travel to your advisor's office and to plan your meeting times around your working hours or theirs. And if one of you moves to another city or state, you'll still be able to work together. Money Hack 223. Make sure your money lasts. If you've done everything right on your way to retirement, when the day finally comes, you might feel like you deserve to splurge with a bit of your well-saved money. But there's a rule of thumb you should follow for your retirement account withdrawals if you want to make that money last. Experts advise that you withdraw no more than 4% of your retirement funds each year if you want to make sure your money lasts for 30 years. Play around with this math and you'll get a good idea of how much money you really need to save for retirement for the lifestyle you want. How the 4% rule works. For instance, say you've saved $500,000 for retirement and your last day of work has finally arrived. Multiply $500,000 by 0.04 and you'll learn that you can take out $20,000 each year and still have plenty for future years. If that isn't enough for you, you'll know you need more in order to retire. The 4% rule on a savings of $1 million would allow you to withdraw $40,000 per year. It's only an estimate. The math isn't perfect, but it gives you a rough number to shoot for, depending on how much money you think you'll need for expenses when you retire. Many people don't just use this rule for life in their 60s, 70s, and beyond, though. If you've heard of the FIRE, F-I-R-E, movement, which stands for Financial Independence, Retire Early, many of those people are hoping to amass as much money in their younger years as possible so they can start withdrawing that 4% earlier while maintaining strong financial footing. And money hack number 224, create a backup investing account. If your employer offers a health savings account or HSA in tandem with a high deductible health care plan, it may be worth considering even if you think you're healthy enough not to need this savings account. When you contribute money to an HSA, you're not required to use the funds in a certain time frame like you are with a flexible spending account. But while you're waiting to use these funds, you can hold them as cash or invest them like you would contributions to your 401k or IRA. That means you can basically use your HSA money as a backup retirement account. Your money grows tax-free, and your withdrawals for qualified health care expenses are tax-free too. If you withdraw the money for non-health reasons, you pay income tax plus a 20% penalty tax. But if you wait until age 65 to withdraw the money for non-health expenses, there's no penalty. You just pay income tax on your withdrawals, just like you would with a 401k account. There are limits to how much you can contribute to your HSA each year, around $3,500 for an individual and $7,000 for a family. But if you can max out that contribution alongside what you've put into your other retirement accounts, you can set yourself up to be more comfortable down the line and to cover any medical issues that may come up prior to retirement. Hack number 225, protect your finances with a fiduciary. When it's time to work with a financial planner, it's important to find one that intends to take care of your money. CFPs and Chartered Financial Analysts, or CFAs, come in two main varieties: fee-only planners who charge you a flat rate for their services, and commission-based planners who earn a portion of the financial transactions they make on your behalf. Fee-only planners pledge to act in your best interest, monitoring your money and helping you make decisions regardless of whether the decision will benefit them. They earn their income based on charging a flat or hourly rate or a percentage of your assets that they manage. Choose fiduciary over suitability. Being a fiduciary is voluntary. Commission-based financial advisors are only required to adhere to the suitability standard, which means that the financial planner may not be as clear about their processes and aren't obligated to monitor the health of your accounts after a trade is made. They don't need to disclose conflicts of interest. Their income is based entirely on the products they sell you or accounts they open. It's easy to see why you would want to work with a fiduciary, so ask if they are fee-only or commission-based first when screening potential financial advisors. To find a fee-only fiduciary near you, search the XY Planning Network at xyplanningnetwork.com or feeonlynetwork.com at feeonlynetwork.com. Money hack number 226. Let your money be boring. Your money should be boring. Financial experts tend to agree that the best way for your portfolio to grow is slow and steady over the course of many years, not with the wild ups and downs that make you sweat. There is no secret that, if followed, will make you rich now and long into your golden years. Instead, it's a matter of saving, investing in inexpensive funds instead of individual stocks, and monitoring but not reacting to your portfolio performance. That's it. Hack 227. Lock down your credit. If you've even considered buying a home, get serious about your credit score. Get the score as high as possible, then maintain it even for as long as 1 or 2 years. A boring yet healthy credit profile is exactly what lenders want to see when considering your mortgage application. That means you should skip applying for a new credit card or car loan in the year or two leading up to your home purchase. You should strive to pay off as much debt as possible and make sure any late payments get covered up in your credit history by a long string of on-time payments. If you work to fortify your credit score with plenty of time before you do apply for a mortgage, you can make sure there are no surprises when you see the rates available based on your credit report. Money Hack 228. Get your FICO score, mortgage score. There are many different ways to calculate a credit score, but you can reduce your chance of surprise if you have a good relationship with your bank or credit union. Going this route can help you get your score without paying for it. Ask your banker if they can access your FICO score specifically for mortgages. You may also be able to request your score for free from a housing counselor that's approved by HUD. There are a few variations that lenders can choose for mortgage applications, but it's a far smaller pool than the dozens of methods you could see used otherwise. Doing this will give you a good idea of what you're working with and whether you need to raise your score before applying. And Money Hack 229, request a rapid rescore. If you've been working hard to boost your credit score, you may have noticed it can take a while for paid debts to reflect in your score, sometimes up to 45 days. But if you're anxious to start the process of buying a home, you may be able to accelerate the process. It's possible through what's called rapid rescore, which is typically used to correct credit reports that have errors. You can ask a lender to do that if your score isn't matching up where you think it should be. You won't see a drastic change in your score, but even a boost of 20 points can get you a better interest rate. Doing so doesn't guarantee you'll get a better rate on your mortgage, but a better credit score never hurt anyone, did it? Hack number 230. Make a big down payment. Even if you plan to make a small down payment on a home, you can use the savings you've built up for closing costs or even moving costs. Some lenders want to see that you have a few months of mortgage payments on hand before granting a loan. In fact, it's common for lenders to ask for copies of your tax returns and bank statements when you apply for a mortgage. The process of account verification allows them to see not just how much money you have, but also how long you've had it. If you have large deposits that suddenly show up in your accounts, the lender may even ask about the source of those funds to make sure you aren't inflating your ability to pay back a home loan. And money hack number 231. Pay points now to save later. Maybe you already have a solid interest rate offer for a mortgage, but you'd like to pay even less interest over the course of your loan. It might be possible if you have extra money you can use to buy points. When you do this, you essentially pay off a bunch of interest on your mortgage in advance to get a lower interest rate. 1 point usually equals 0.25% off your mortgage interest rate, say reducing it from 4.25% to 4%. To get that special discount, you'll pay 1% of your mortgage amount. You pay these points at closing, which is why it's important to have cash on hand after your down payment and your other closing cost. Hack number 232. Figure out your PITI. The people who tell you that you could have a monthly mortgage payment for less than your rent may not be looking at the right numbers. To get a better idea of how much buying a home would really cost each month, you need to know your PITI. And that stands for principal, interest, property tax, and insurance. Principal, the monthly main amount you pay on your mortgage, the part that makes the amount you owe go down. The interest, the monthly interest you pay on your mortgage loan, this gets rolled together with the principal for your overall mortgage payment. Property tax, the taxes you pay on your home to your local government. The payment schedule depends on where you live, but the first few months usually gets rolled into your closing cost. Often you pay this as part of your bigger mortgage payment, and the lender submits it to your city when due. And insurance. This is either your homeowner's insurance or your homeowner's association fee. If you're getting insurance for a home that's not in an association, you will need to pay up front for the first year, but you may be able to shift to monthly payments after that first year. Why is it important to know how these four items add up to your monthly homeownership cost? Because if you don't know your PITI, you could be getting in the way over your head in a house you can't truly afford. Lenders want to see your PITI as 28% or less of your income. And let's face it, you don't want the cost of owning a home to eat into your budget by too much more than that anyways. Hack 233. Buy a house for less. Finding an affordable home to purchase can be a long and frustrating process. Looking at foreclosed homes may open up new possibilities, but it also comes with risk. To get started without getting overwhelmed, look for homes that are in foreclosure in your area on homepath.com. It's a program from government-sponsored mortgage company Fannie Mae that helps it sell the homes on which it has foreclosed. A lot of the homes are move-in ready, though conditions vary. Buyers may be eligible for one or both of two programs that can make the process of buying a home easier. The first is the Home Ready Mortgage Program, which allows low down payments. Meanwhile, the Ready Buyer Program lets qualified buyers get a refund on up to 3% of their closing cost. The other government-sponsored mortgage lender, Freddie Mac, has a similar program called Home Steps. Freddie Mac provides cleaning and lawn services before its homes are put on the market. The Home Possible Mortgage Program allows down payments as low as 3%. With both programs, investors are not permitted to make offers for the first several weeks the property is on the market, ensuring that people who are buying a primary residence get first dibs instead of investors who have lots of cash to wave around. And money hack number 234, save thousands on your mortgage. Once you sign all the paperwork and finally get to hold the keys, you might hope the stress of buying a home is over for a long, long time. But paying attention to mortgage rates in the months and even years after you buy could help you pay off your home faster by refinancing. When you refinance, you replace your current mortgage with a new one for the amount you still owe. You have to qualify for refinancing by having your credit reviewed by a mortgage lender, and you complete the entire closing process you went through when you first bought a home. You'll pay another round of closing costs, which might make the prospect of refinancing less attractive since you'll have to have at least a few thousand dollars on hand. But it could be worth it in the long run if the mortgage rates have decreased considerably. For instance, if you took out a 30-year mortgage on a $300,000 house at 5%, then refinanced 2 years later at 4%, you could save approximately $32,000 in interest. Doing so would also reduce your mortgage payment by about $220 per month. And we are out of time again for today's episode of Money Matters. Thank you for joining us, and until next time, this is Larry Wilson. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Money Matters is also available as podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please give us a call, 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.